AP&T refund to the Haynes School gets the borough's attention, and Eagle viewers flock to Haynes. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro School District is getting an extra $16,000 from Alaska Power and Telephone on top of the more than $225,000 refund already issued due to an overbilling mistake. AP&T in August notified the school of the error. Danny Gauntz, manager of the local power operations, said the overbilling stemmed from an inaccurate ratio used in a transformer to determine the school's kilowatt usage. At the time the error was discovered, Gauntz said he was unsure if AP&T would apply interest to the money owed the school district. But at a Haynesboro school board meeting in early November, Superintendent Michael Beyer notified the school board that AP&T had offered to apply interest to the overbilling. In a letter to Beyer, Gauntz said utilities tariffs does not specifically identify that interest be paid on meter errors, but Gauntz wrote, the company felt that due to the scope of the case, interest was in order in this case. AP&T suggested paying 3% simple interest beginning September 2007 through October 2012 for a total of about $16,200. The school board at its meeting approved accepting that amount. The original $225,000 refund was applied to the school's AP&T account. But last week, borough manager Mark Ernest said the borough may be interested in some of the refund. Ernest said, as a component unit of the borough, the school has its own board and makes its own funding decisions.
But at the same time, we have a special relationship with the school district, the we meaning borough, I think we can work together because there is interest. I think there are a number of projects, major maintenance, minor maintenance, and other uses that I think we can find some, hopefully come up with a plan that can be supported by both.
Ernest said the topic will likely come up at a joint school board borough assembly meeting in early December. Ernest noted there's a number of school district projects that the refund money could be applied toward. The borough is normally responsible for major maintenance projects at the school buildings, while the district pays for minor maintenance. But those are loosely defined terms and have over the years caused confusion about who is responsible for paying for specific projects. Ernest said the borough and school have been working together on a comprehensive plan to better define the difference between major and minor projects. He said the plan would identify all the capital projects needed at the school and identify which funding sources might be tapped for them, including borough funding, the school district capital fund, state funds, and the Department of Education funding. And perhaps the AP&T refund, Ernest said. Ernest said another possible use of the refund could be for necessary upgrades to the Mosquito Lake fire sprinkler system. At the recent school board meeting, Beyer said the fire marshal has told the district that repairs are necessary to the sprinkler system. Borough Public Facilities Director Carlo Jimenez told the school board estimates for the sprinkler project range from $75,000 to over $100,000, depending on how extensive the repairs. The school board held off on any action to approve the repairs until more information is available. The Haynesboro Assembly and school board meet in joint session on December 4th. The school board holds its budget workshop on November 20th. It's Eagle Festival time. The weather was not exactly cooperating on Wednesday for comfortable outdoor eagle viewing, the first day of the five-day event, but more than 250 people have registered for the festival, according to American Bald Eagle Foundation Director Cheryl Roberts. The festival runs through Sunday and includes several speakers and presentations, events, and daily bus trips to the Bald Eagle Preserve for eagle viewing. Here's a synopsis of some of the festival's highlighted presentations. Rachel Wheat, a doctoral candidate from the University of California, Santa Cruz, will present on her research with eagles in the Chilkat Valley. Wheat has been researching where eagles come from to the valley and where they go when they leave. She recently fitted 5 eagles in the area with satellite beacons in tiny backpacks that will send continuous signal for 3 years. She's hoping to tag up to 30 birds. The solar-assisted satellite tags will allow Wheat to follow the birds from California. Her presentation is 2 p.m. on Thursday. Another presentation is titled Miracle of Raptor Vision by retired optometrist Dr. Dan Hart. He will talk about the vision traits of eagles that allow them to focus on all objects in a field of vision, not just a single item, like humans. He also talks about how eagles can see more than twice as fast as humans. His presentation is at 9 a.m. Thursday. Dr. Talal Levi will be presenting about his study to quantify the importance of salmon to terrestrial wildlife. Through the use of motion-triggered cameras along several river systems in the area, Dr. Levi has been able to track what animals eat salmon. Besides brown bears, the list includes ravens, mink, martens, coyotes, and wolves. He'll be presenting his findings as a movie shot at each camera site. His presentation is 3 p.m. Thursday. Dr. Angela Tennyson is a veterinarian at the University of Missouri, and she will discuss lead exposure. Lead has been shown to cause die-offs of wild bird populations and can be particularly toxic to waterfowl. Eagles ingest lead when they feed on other animals that have been shot with lead bullets or birdshot. Tennyson's presentation is at 10 a.m. Saturday. Other presentations will include topics such as wildlife viewing opportunities in the Yukon, return of the trumpeter swan, paralytic shellfish poisoning, geology, ecology, and place names of the Chilkat Valley, and injured wild bird handling. This year's featured speaker is someone who has something in common with eagles, flight. Astronaut Edgar Mitchell is one of six NASA astronauts to walk on the moon. After retiring from space travel, Mitchell began researching human consciousness. He said his interest was sparked by an epiphany he experienced as the command module Kitty Hawk hurtled homeward. He wrote a book titled The Way of the Explorer, released in 1997. He will speak at the festival's Flight for Freedom banquet starting at 6 p.m. Saturday. Roberts said that event is nearly sold out. The other issue that comes along with the Eagle Festival is the bird and human interaction on the viewing grounds along the Chilkat River. Hundreds of viewers and photographers gather to view the eagles each year, not just during the festival, but in the weeks before and after. Alaska State Park Ranger Preston Kors emphasizes that visitors should use the designated pullouts along the highway, and park officials are discouraging visitors from venturing out onto the river flats.
Just so that way they're not disturbing the eagles, because obviously the eagles need to land out there while they're feeding on the fish carcasses, and the eagles really need to get the nourishment. That's the whole reason they come here, is to get the nourishment from the salmon that are running late and in the open water. And people going out onto the flats can disturb the eagles. Plus, they also disturb other viewers trying to watch the eagles, you know, get in the way of their photography and their viewing experience.
A complete schedule of events is available at the Eagle Foundation. Officials with Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and the City and Borough of Juneau are working on a deal to let the Institute out of the city's historic district standards for the proposed Walter Soboloff Center. The four-story, 29,000-square-foot education and cultural facility will be built on the edge of the downtown district, which celebrates the late 19th and early 20th century architecture of Juneau's original mining period. The Soboloff Center will also present a historic look, though from a different era and combined with modern elements. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
The history of Southeast Alaska Native architecture goes back
over 10,000 years, I would suppose.
Sea Alaska Heritage Institute Chief Operating Officer Lee Katinger says the proposed Walter Soboloff Center at the corner of Front and Seward Streets in downtown Juneau will pay tribute to that history, incorporating elements of traditional Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian design. The facility also will take advantage of modern advances in building materials to meet LEED Gold standards. A glass and cedar facade will give way to an interior that will include exhibits, work and performance space for artists, as well as offices for SHI's staff and climate-controlled storage for the Institute's collections.
We just feel that it celebrates the rich cultural diversity of Southeast Alaska, and we feel it really represents Juneau's original habitats in a wonderful light.
Katinger says SHI is not looking to rewrite the city's historic district code. Rather, the Institute would prefer the Juneau Assembly pass an ordinance, providing an exception to the property where the center will be built.
Native culture is part of the history of Alaska, and a NADCON exemption would not change the historic district standards and the rest of the district, but it would provide for an inclusion of what may have been an oversight.
Juneau voters in October approved an extension of the city's temporary 1% sales tax, which included $3 million for the Sobeloff Center. Katinger says construction is estimated at $20 million and that SHI has raised about 75%. The facility will be named after the Reverend Dr. Walter Sobeloff, a renowned Tlingit elder who passed away in 2011 at the age of 102. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
For images and video of what the Walter Sobeloff Center will look like, go to ktoo.org. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Visit our news section online at khns.org or visit our KHNS News Facebook page. We're always open to your comments and appreciate hearing story ideas and topics important to you. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.